What I keep hearing is he's with us. He's with us, right? If you know that God for sure is present with you, whatever's going on, it's all right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If God is there with you, you might not want to go through it. You might not like the feelings that you have in the moment. You might be scared. You might be frustrated. But if God really is there, if the God of heaven and earth really is present, if he's really with you at every moment, then that makes it okay, doesn't it? Like, it's going to be all right. Maybe God's not handling it the way you think he should, but one of you is God and one of you is not. One is smarter than the other one. You might be really smart. There's a lot of people in here smarter than me, but you're not smarter than God. And that's the thing. He sees things that we can't see. He knows things we'll never know. His power is limitless. And so if that guy is with you, then everything's all right. And he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. I love this interaction. We're going through these verses for our men's study, which is coming up sometime this month. I'm not sure when that is, but when God introduces himself to Moses, passes before Moses, God makes a proclamation. He declares who he is, right? Makes this pronouncement and introduces who he is to Moses. And Moses records that. So you want to throw that first slide up there? So this is in Exodus chapter 34, 5 through 7. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, with Moses, and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord. Now, imagine that. Like we just read this. So Moses is standing there, shaking in his boots probably, right? And this cloud descends, and this is God, big G God. I mean, split the Red Sea, smoke on the mountain, touch it, you die kind of God. Big God is coming down, and he's, you know, I don't know what God's voice, but it would shake a mountain. You guys ever been, anyone ever been up in the mountains, like Rocky Mountains, like big mountains, like real mountains, not like Dakota Hills. I mean, like mountains. That would take something pretty spectacular to shake. They're so majestic. They're so huge. They're so massive. Did you guys know this? A little science fact for you. This is, what's his name? The new popular science guy. Whatever. He said this the other day. That from the tallest mountain to the lowest point of the sea, if you didn't have the oceans in there, I mean, it's a long ways. It's massive. But the Earth is so big. Like, if the Earth, with all of its mountains and valleys, was the size of a pool ball, like a cue ball, and you could hold it, it would be smoother than any pool ball or smoother than any glass, even with those, like, because of the size of it. So to us, mountains are huge, but even compared to the Earth, like, your hand wouldn't be able to feel a mountain if it was the size that you could hold it. It's that smooth, because the Earth is really big, and the earth is God's footstool. So God comes down in this cloud of smoke and says, the Lord, I am, you know. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord. Wanted to make sure Moses knew who we were talking about here. Talking about the Lord. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding. This is not in the Bible. I mean, this is in the Bible, but this is what God is saying. This is what God is saying about himself. Imagine if you're in this moment, mountains shaking, smoke, and you're like, oh, okay, I wanted to see the Lord. I changed my mind. Like, can I have a do-over, right? Can I ask for just three wishes again or something? Or... And he's the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Like, he's booming this, and like he's introducing it. You want to know who you're talking to, Moses? Here's who I am. Wow. I can't even imagine what that scene was like, what he felt like in that moment. And so part of who he says he is, he's abounding. What does abounding mean? Abounding means you're stranded in the wilderness, you don't get one mechanic, you get two.
That's right.
That's what abounding means. It's overflowing. It's more, you don't, well, if it really, you know, that's probably, Jerry, that's probably a coincidence. If it really was God, God would know enough to only send you one mechanic. So we don't really think it was God. No, it's completely in his character. He's abounding. He's overflowing. He's more than enough. Well, why would God send two? Well, why not? Because he's showing that he's doing it. He's more than enough in the middle of nowhere, right? Abounding. So God is abounding. This is what God says about himself. This is who I am. I'm overflowing in love and faithfulness. It's really easy for us to analyze our circumstances and go, I don't know if I feel like, Tanya said it, you know, I don't know if I feel like God's been faithful. I don't know. And you got to trust what God says about himself. Okay? This isn't even just in the holy apostles, man. They wrote the Bible, right? Through the unction of the Holy Spirit. But it's not what someone else is saying about God. This is what God is saying about God. I'm abounding in love and faithfulness. You've got to know above all else that when God describes himself, he's like, I'm really faithful. Hi, what's your name? I'm Dave. Okay, Dave, describe yourself. I'm really faithful, which I believe is true. But, you know, like, God's name is not Dave, but he's saying, the Lord, and he says, I'm abounding in love and faithfulness. You can count on me to do what I say I'm going to do and to show up and to be with you. Let's go to the next slide. The very end of the book, last book of the Bible, Revelations, Revelation 9:19-11 says this, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Horses in the Bible. They're holy. I just don't ever want to write one. And the one sitting on it is called what? What is the one sitting on the white horse called? Faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it is called faithful. The one sitting on it is called faithful. Temperature warning. It's too hot in here. It's too cold outside. Come on, temperature. I need to read my slide. Oh, there we go. We can read it on that one. See? You just surround yourself with people that are smarter than you, and life is going to be okay. So then the next slide says, it's in 1 Thessalonians. So we got the kind of the beginning. We got in Exodus. We got the end, you know, with Jesus in Revelation. And we've got 1 Thessalonians 5 says this. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. Who wants to be holy in every way? Come on. May God make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. I like that. Until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Here's a promise for you. God will make this happen. For he who calls you is what? So all of this cool stuff that we all agree, body, soul, and spirit, a wholeness of being, blameless, holy, walking with God. How many, be honest, how many feel like sometimes like that's unattainable? Be honest. You guys are liars. If you've ever had a human day, you feel like that's unattainable. I'm raising my hand because I feel like that's, like some days I feel like that's, okay, I know God, that's what you said, but it just feels unattainable because I know me. And you got a rough patch to work with here, God. All right. But he wants to keep our whole spirit, our whole soul, and our whole body blameless and holy until Jesus comes. And then he promises, God will make this happen. For the one who calls you, the reason that this is going to happen, okay? Not because he's so powerful, he is. Not because he's, you know, in the beginning, middle, and end, he is. Not because he knows all things, he does. But the reason that it's going to happen, because he's what? Faithful. He'll do this because he is faithful. He's faithful. Wow, that thing is just heating like crazy. Next slide. We're going to read a little chunk here. I don't have too many more slides. And wasn't sure how my fuzzy head was going to do for you today, but a little chunk of scripture in Lamentations here. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 21 says this: "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall." Those are bitter, bitter things. Has anyone ever walked through a season of life or a day or a comment or two that are bitter? And your heart has gotten bitter and it's sour and it's nasty and your heart wants to be nasty and your soul is in anguish. A few of you, yeah? Anyone ever vaguely familiar, right? And the writer in Lamentations here is saying, remember my affliction. Anyone that just felt like you beat up, right? Spiritually, emotionally, physically. Remember my wanderings. Anyone ever just had a moment you're like, God, what way do I go here? I don't know what decision to make here. Remember my wanderings. Remember my bitterness. My soul continually remembers. Sometimes that's not a good thing, right? You're saying, God, remember my bitterness. Remember my wanderings, my confusion here. Remember my sorrow. Remember my afflictions. My soul remembers. We, right? Our soul is really good at remembering when bad things happen to us. Our soul is really good at remembering those. Then there's this three-letter word. Starts with a B, ends with a nut, right? But. That means hold the phone, stop the show, change the thought. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So he's about to tell us something here that in the middle of my soul is a good rememberer. That's not a good thing always. Most times it's not a good thing. But my soul is remembering my bitterness. My soul is remembering my affliction. My soul is remembering my wandering. It means I feel bad stuff. And I rehearse it a lot. That's what he's saying. I feel bad inside and I bring it back to my mind and spin it around over and over again. Has anyone ever spun something around in your mind that's bad over and over again? We spin that around in our soul. We rehearse that. And that's what the writer of Lamentations is saying here. He's saying, I rehearse this. Oh, my soul, always remember this. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What does he call to mind, Joe? What's the next slide have to say? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Come on. His mercies never come to an end. Never. Never. When you tell your spouse, you always do that, and you never do that. Is that accurate?
No.
It's not. Marnie said this last night. She commented. She said, I guess when you're the Lord, though, and you say always and never, it means it.
Legit.
Right? It's legit. It's the one time that it actually is true. But the steadfast love of the Lord, it never stops. It never ceases. His mercies, what? They never come to an end. They are brand new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Back up to the slide right before this. My soul continually remembers all of this bitterness, this sorrow, this sadness. It's bowed down within me. Ever have a season where your soul is bowed down with you? And I'm not talking about in humility. I'm talking about groveling. Your soul is groveling. But this I call to mind. Skip ahead. The steadfast love. That's what I call to mind. I remember. I call to mind the steadfast love of God. I call to mind that his mercies don't stop. Has anyone ever experienced the mercy of God? Guess what? It wasn't a one-time thing. Woo! Right? Isn't that a good thing? They're brand new. You got a new batch. Just think of how cool that would be if the FedEx guy, every morning, ding, ding, package here. Brand new set of mercies for today. Whatever you're facing today, you got a brand new set of mercy for it this morning. That's literal. Every morning, you get a brand new, a fresh batch of mercy for the day today. Because great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Wait a minute. He was just talking about his soul a little bit earlier. He was saying, my soul is really good at rehearsing all the turd nuggets that come into my life. Right? all the bad things that happened, all the woe is me. My soul's good at remembering that. Guess what needs to change? What's going on in my mind and in my soul? The Lord is my portion, says my soul. You got to change what's going on. We did a whole series on that. You got to change what's going on in the old thinker, or your feelings are just going to keep on being the same. The Lord is my portion. When my soul wants to rehearse the bad things, my soul says, wait, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my inheritance. God is with me. Therefore, I will hope in him because he's faithful. Great is your faithfulness. I want to go to the next one, Jill. This is in Hebrews 10. We're gonna skip back. The next slide will be Lamentations again, but I have just a little side note here. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says this: let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, because he who promised is what? He's faithful. You can stand strong because God is faithful. That's what this is saying. You guys, don't swerve. Don't let go of the promises of God. Don't stop hanging on to what God has for you, because God is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And it says back in Lamentations again, it says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks. This is this section in Lamentations where he's just saying, my soul is going to remember that God is good and he's faithful. And he says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It's good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You see, waiting isn't necessarily just like we think waiting. We have rooms for it in our hospital. Okay, just. And what are you doing there? You're just waiting. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about coming before the Lord, bringing back to mind who God is, and looking to see what God is going to do in the middle of this. When I've done all I can on my end, now I wait for the Lord. And that doesn't just mean, okay, God, I did everything. It means I'm going to wait in faithfulness, expecting to see how God's going to come through. You know, we think of my great aunt Pat. I share this story about every 6 months or so. But my great aunt Pat got saved when we were kids, and she lived with a bugger of a husband for a long time. He was just one of the good old boys, and he wasn't that good old boy. And she talked to him about Jesus and prayed relentlessly for Larry for years. Until one day, Jesus, Larry, and Dwight showed up in the same room together. And finally, Larry found someone he could relate to. And I don't know, Jesus just got a hold of Larry's heart, and he just surrendered to Jesus and just became a new man. And I just remember when I asked Pat, I said, how they used to sit kind of right there every Sunday. They both have passed away and went to be with the Lord. But I said, how long did you pray for Larry? She said, over 20 years. Day in and day out. Great is your faithfulness, God. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Not just, okay, I can't do nothing else. I can't manage God and I can't manage you, so I'll manage me. I'll keep my expectancy up. I'll rehearse in my mind the goodness of God, just what you were saying, Tanya. I'll rehearse in my soul the faithfulness of God, and I'll expect you to move. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow, it might not be 19 years and 364 days from now, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because God is what? He's faithful. God is what? He's faithful. He's faithful. Psalm 27:13. Is this the last one, Jill? I think it is, isn't it? Yep. It says, I would have lost heart, right? There's that soul condition again. I would have been despondent. I would have been hopeless. I would have lost heart, this is in Psalms 27, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Keep your heart stirred to the goodness of God. Remember the faithfulness of the Lord. Real quick, as we just close out, I had read a whole bunch of chapters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I was behind on my Bible reading. And I caught up and I'd read through a whole chunk of that last night. And I just kept thinking, God, your faithfulness is so good. And I kept thinking, we have a really hard time. A hurdle to our believing God's faithfulness is when things don't happen on our timetable. Okay? We have a problem with an extension of linear time when it doesn't fit with what my head thinks should happen. We have a problem with when it doesn't look like I think it should look like. I start to question God's faithfulness, which is beyond question. He is faithful. It's who he is. He's faithful. Like that, he's not a guy that acts faithful. God is faithful. Like he can't not be faithful. It's who he is. And then the third thing, we get in trouble when we try to circumvent and help a God out, right? Because, right, Hagar, does that sound familiar? Ishmael, right? Hey, things are taking a long time. It's not quite looking how I think it should look, so let's get involved and help out God a little bit here. Right? So be careful when things take too long, or when they don't look like you think they should look, or when you feel tempted to get involved in a way that maybe isn't what God said you should be doing, because God is faithful. Let him prove his faithfulness in his own time and in his own way, because he can't not be faithful. He's faithful. God is what?
Faithful.
He's what?
Faithful.
He's faithful. Amen. Thank you guys for sharing today. Yes. All right. Marnie's going to close us out with one last scripture.
We were just talking about one of the themes of faithfulness is that God is with us, right? And we talked about that and just kept thinking about it as the sun rise, like as the sun rises and the sun sets, like we're not surprised, right? Like when the sun comes up and then when you open your eyes in the summer, because right now it's dark, but you know, in the summer, and when you open your eyes, you're not shocked that it's light out. You're going, the sun did what it does. It rises, and then we're not shocked that it goes down either. And obviously we know the scientific part of that. It's not really rising and going down, but the world is spinning. But I loved this verse about God being with us and as faithful as that. This is Hosea 6:3. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear.
Yes.
I saw that and I'm like, as surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. He's faithful. Pray for us. All right. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you that that is what you call yourself. It's an attribute that you have given yourself. You're saying, I am faithful and true. I am abounding in faithfulness. You are not lacking in any way. You say you will be with us and you will meet us. And we thank you, Lord, that we can count on you. And so, God, in these days that lie ahead, today and the days before us, God, I ask for a special grace for us to remember, to be able to look and see your faithfulness in our lives. And Lord, for some of us, we can look back and go, well, I don't know. I don't necessarily see God's faithfulness. Like this happened and this happened and this happened. God, I pray you would open our eyes. Places where maybe we've missed you, where we thought something else was taking place, but instead you were working. Just read that you were always working. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you would give us clarity to see, that we would remember the things that you have done, and that from this day forward, we would have hope because we count on your faithfulness. That you show up, that you are with us. Lord, I just pray just traveling mercies, Lord, for everyone that came, that you will get them home safely. I pray for ease, Lord, for working on things in the cold temperatures, that things will function as they need to function. And Lord, I just pray a special blessing on these people who have braved the weather today to come and have an encounter with you. Lord, mark them today. Lord, may you continue to speak of your faithfulness in their lives as they go home. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.